This is the Mike Farwell Show on 570 News.
Welcome back to the Mike Farwell Show. Glenn Peltier filling in for Mike, who's back tomorrow. And one of Mike's great installments that he does on a monthly basis is the monthly mental health check-in. I believe Mike started doing this in the early days of the pandemic when people were dealing with the new reality and being bombarded by stress from all sides. Their lives, stress level exacerbated by a number of factors. And it's become a regular installment. And I suspect that post-pandemic, Mike will continue this because mental health is always a concern. And it affects everybody to varying degrees, whether it's you directly and your varying levels of stress, the range of anxiety that can beset somebody, right from generalized anxiety disorder all the way to panic disorder and agoraphobia, and all the way up through the various ranges of mental concern and mental illness. And, you know, whether you are adversely impacted yourself personally you may know somebody who is, and we're all in this together. It's often been said that, most of us aren't experts. We're not psychologists. We're not psychiatrists. We're not therapists. But it's been said that we can contribute in our own way to the mental well-being of our fellow citizens by just listening, being a comforting ear and a friend and offering love and support. I mean, that's what I do with particular family members and friends and people that I know. You know, the idea that you can give advice, like, that's the worst thing you can do, I think. And it's been said by experts as well. Wagging the finger and giving advice, it doesn't really help. I mean, just be there and let the experts give the advice. Be there to listen, be there to support, be there to understand. And many of us can understand to a degree because many of us have been on that spectrum. I think it's part of the human condition. So a lot of people are still afraid to talk about it. And so kudos to former broadcaster Michael Landsberg, who for his Let's Talk, his initiative there. And in case, I don't know if you're aware, but the Michael Landsberg, formerly of TSN, has decided to leave the business and to devote his time to his great cause. And there are so many others that have taken a stand and are getting the message out, and people are not afraid, by and large, to talk about it. On the other hand, there is still a stigma. So let's at least remember that we're in this together and we're here to help each other out. Joining us now is my next guest is Allison Demuy. She's the Director of Strategy and Community Engagement for the Canadian Mental Health Association of Waterloo Wellington. Allison, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Hi, Glenn. How are you today?
I'm great. And, you know, I say that fully aware that tomorrow I might not be great. I mean, and I don't know if great is really what one wants to be. I talk a lot about mental health with some of the people that I deal with, family and friends. And in fact, just the other day I was at a gathering and we were talking about the importance of being content and being peaceful as opposed to being happy. Because let's face it, I mean, even Thich Nhat Hanh is not always happy. There are times when things are going to go really sour, but you can always be peaceful.
Yeah,
and you can
yeah.
always be content, and it's a practice, right? It's a daily endeavor.
It is, and boy, oh boy, did this last 18 months put us to the challenge on that. And I was just thinking about that when you said great. I thought, that's wonderful. I don't hear that a lot from people anymore. People sort of say, you know, I'm doing okay, and that's good. Like, doing okay is okay. I think your point earlier too, what you talked about listening and holding space for our friends and our families and colleagues is really important, because, you know, we always tend to do that. We always say, yeah, I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm fine. And maybe you're not.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's, you know, you don't want to sort of reveal your burden to people, but that's where our job is also to hear and listen from people and check in and just say, how are you doing really? Like, yeah. How are you really doing?
I agree. I went to school years ago with a number of people there, but there was one girl in my class, one woman, I should say, this was after high school. And she would say, she was one of those people that she was almost like, I got the sense she had psychic ability, if not psychic, she was a very deep empath and extremely perceptive, and she had a reputation for asking people how they were. And then after you responded with, oh, super, great, you know, everything's wonderful, she'd say, no, she would take your hand and go, how are you really? Like giving you an opportunity to open up. And, to your point, a lot of us can say, yeah, I'm super, but, you know, it might just be words, right?
It might just be words. And that's it. And I think I will say that I think one of the, I don't want to say always the silver lining or the good side of the pandemic, because I think that's kind of tiring at this point. But the reality is the upside is that we have become far more empathetic of a society. We now know that, yeah, we're all good. We were all in this together, as you said, and we all know what it's like to have really down times and to really struggle. Like, if you didn't know it before, you now sort of know it. And we have to, you know, as we kind of come out of this, I think it's really important for us to hold on to that, not only from the ability to see it and watch it in the friends and family that we have, but it's kind of a responsibility that we all do to be really self-aware, like really check in with yourself every so often when you're having a bad day, because bad days are normal. Like that, I don't think we should all be scared of that. That's okay. It's okay to have bad days. What we want to watch for here, Glenn, is intensity and frequency. So if you're finding that you yourself or somebody that you know, your kids especially, who don't necessarily have developmentally the ability to sort of self-recognize what's going on with them, and as we're headed back into school, it's important to watch for, you know, is the intensity of sort of maybe mood swings or sleeping too much or too little, eating too much or too little, big changes in their daily routine, is that happening a lot intensively, and is it happening frequently? So are you finding that, you know, maybe your teenager is kind of staying in the basement for, you know, days after days, or sleeping a lot lately, or is having, you know, outbursts, because it's pretty typical for teenagers to have outbursts, but are they having them like every day or five times a day? Anything that seems really out of normal, that's what you want to watch for, because Glenn, that's where you might need to actually reach out and get some help, or you know, move towards sort of more than just self-care.
Yeah. Let's continue on that theme now. The more specific theme of the effect on mental health of going back to school. I've said this to, I'm not sure whether it was you or it was somebody else from the organization before the last time, one of the last times I was filling in for Mike. It was an extremely stressful time when I was in high school in the early 70s, pre-internet, pre-social media, constant visual comparison with other kids. And the list goes on. And it was stressful then. I just can't imagine what it's like now to be a 14-year-old with all of the teenage angst that's been in play, you know, for 100 years, and then adding on to all of the other contributors to stress for young people. I mean, it must be such a real serious concern from your vantage point.
Mm-hmm. It is, actually, and certainly the pandemic adds to that. There was a study that came out just yesterday from the University of Calgary It's a global study. So what's interesting about that is it looked at literally every country in the world and got a good sense of where is the state of mental health for young people. And, you know, obviously it ranges from country to country, but overall we can say that the pandemic really did see an increase in depression and anxiety for young people. About 1 in 4 we saw clinically elevated rates of depression, and 1 in 5 we saw clinically elevated rates of anxiety. And so locally here too, I can tell you, unfortunately, our wait lists for intensive care is up. And, you know, anecdotally, friends, family, colleagues are all talking about the young people in their lives and how hard it's been. So yeah, this school year and this return to school year is not your normal, you know, back to school, where we already, absolutely what you said before is really important. We've already seen increase in sort of the anxiety levels about going back to school, and this year it's even higher. And so, you know, a big part of this is giving parents and friends and family the tools that they need to sort of get through this. And again, you know, watching for signs and symptoms that young people really are struggling more than what they can handle, and feeling that they can reach out for help when they need it.
And you mentioned earlier in our conversation some of the signs and symptoms. What advice do you have for parents or guardians and other family members about ways they can help the young person who may be showing signs of stress and anxiety?
Yeah. So I think if things are sort of just at the point that it's, you know, manageable anxiety and manageable rates of concern that you're seeing, you know, some of the basic things really there are a routine is probably the most important thing. What we saw during the pandemic was a shift in that routine, mixing it up back and forth between online and school and, you know, sleeping in and getting up early. And so the more that you can actually create routine, the better off. We actually all thrive in routine, but especially kids and youth. And so the more that you can start building a routine back into their lives, preparing for that first day of school, the easier it will be. And in fact, you'll watch that they'll start to sort of get into that. They do thrive in routine. I think it's also important, you know, now that things are opening up, to try and rebuild routines around social aspects. I mean, that was a big thing that kids missed in the last year, was having that social interaction. They felt very isolated. So the more that they can be reconnected with friends before sort of first day of school. So if they can see them safely outside, whatever sort of the protocols are on that, or if they can even still connect via Zoom or other forms of connection, so that the first day of school isn't this big overwhelming social reconnection with friends, the more that they can feel prepared for that, the better that they can be. And you know, again, sort of having those conversations around self-awareness, asking how they're doing, and maybe not making a big deal about that. I think sometimes as parents and friends, we feel like we need to sort of sit down with our kids and have these big, long conversations. Sometimes it's just, you know, when you're driving down the street, going to the cottage, headed to Starbucks, whatever it is, just, you know, say, hey, how you doing? And sort of to our point earlier, how you doing really? Like, you know what, are you feeling sort of some stress and anxiety?
You know what I find
that a lot.
Sorry, go ahead.
They're more likely to come forward and open up about things.
You know what I find really works? And I'm both giving and receiving. And when I've gone through some anxious times in my life, just getting a hug, like, from anybody, like, and somebody who you know gets it, like they know what you're going through, and maybe you haven't even said anything to them, but they can feel it, and they just give you this heartfelt hug. It really, it always had a profound effect on me. And so if I sense that somebody's going through something, or I know they are, I just like to give them a hug. And I think that, you know, there's no words, no advice, no probing or prying, but you're sending a message nonetheless.
Yeah. And you know, boy, wasn't physical touch the biggest thing we all missed this past year. And we all, you know, there's a lot of studies that show that that is a really big part of our mental health, is feeling that human connection. And a lot of people missed out on that. I mean, as long as you can safely do it, feel free. Yeah. To give everybody you can some form of connection point, if possible, because we all missed out on that.
Absolutely. We're with Allison Dumuy of Canadian Mental Health Association, Waterloo Wellington branch. And there's so much talk you hear from the health officials and mental health officials, both the physical and mental health officials, about the value of going back to the physical classroom with your classmates. How important is that?
Oh, it's going to be really important. You know, as long as, again, and I'm really hopeful that we will find that balance to be physically safe. Because, you know, again, I think what we saw at the beginning of the pandemic was a huge emphasis on our physical health, as we had to. We had to understand what the virus was doing and how it worked and how we could stay safe. And, you know, 18, 19, 20 months in now, we're realizing the mental health effect of the virus on us. And the safe way to get kids back to school will absolutely have effects on their mental health, getting them back into routine, you know, feeling socially connected to friends and family, you know, learning in a classroom, having that routine again, you know, and also really important here, Glenn, is seeing that, you know, eyes on them. And so the schools, the teachers, social workers, we all have the ability then to watch and see what's going on and catch things early, so that if they are having difficulty, you know, we're finding them the supports that they need. And so all of that infrastructure is really important to seeing kids prosper mentally in the next year.
There was, when I was a kid in high school, there was, you know, as a society, there was so much pressure on young women, young girls, to conform to a certain expectation about job choice and behavior and appearance. I'm seeing real progress just as a whole, culturally, in North America on that score. You would know better than I. Are we making gains in that area? Are we breaking down barriers, and are girls experiencing unusually higher levels of stress like they used to back in my day?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right. I think we're we're making some gains, and we're watching other things have different effects.
I just mean, like, the patriarchal view is not nearly as overpowering as it was when I was a kid. I know there's work to do. But I can see a real sense. I really see a sense of empowerment. I mean, I'm surrounded by these very capable women. That, and I made a comment off the top of the show today at 9, how when I first started, it was white and it was male.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think we're making, and I think there's lots of work obviously still to go. I think what's really exciting for me is watching young people, and I'm thinking mostly of youth. So, you know, teenagers age, you know, let's say 8 through to 18, really have the ability to talk openly about their feelings, about what's going on in their lives, and feeling an openness to talk about mental health now. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you that was not a topic of conversation when I was their age.
Oh my God.
I don't think we even had awareness of it.
No, you never, you could never talk about that.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, even just the ability that they're recognizing it in each other, that they're having conversations, is a plus, because the first thing that we need to do is destigmatize it for every age group, but especially young people. So that again, really what that means is that they're self-aware, they're watching it in others, and that they're getting the help that they need. Because one of the most tragic things that we can see is young people that, you know, aren't connected into a system that can help them. So the more that we can catch them before they're in crisis, the better off we all are. So, yeah, I see some progress on that level for sure.
I was on your website, and I was really impressed by how practical it is in terms of offering really good information and education and advice to people. You've got seminars, you've got discussions, you've got information about mental health. It's really well laid out. I encourage people to check it out. Do you have anything going on that you want to talk about, like via the website?
Yeah, I mean, please go to www.cmhaww.ca. Waterloo Wellington is our branch, but you know, CMHAs across the country also have great resources. We also have a website that I would direct people to. We started it during the pandemic, and it's great in the sense that we've categorized things according to sort of segments. So there's a whole area for parents. There's an area for teachers. There's an area for people that might be dealing with seniors. And even if you're struggling yourself, so it's called Here for Help. So it's here, the number four, help.ca. That's a great resource as well. Just to find, we just curate articles and tips and tricks and sometimes videos on there so that people can go and just take a look and see what the resources are out there. But Glenn, if I can have a minute, I would say too that if you know somebody or you yourself are struggling to the point that self-care, self-management isn't working for you, there are some numbers that you can call. And I really would like to emphasize those if I can, because yes, these are the numbers that you call. Yeah, if you're in crisis or if you're just sort of just at wit's end. Yep. So for adults, always call HERE 24/7, which is 1-844-HERE-247. For kids, I wanted to just emphasize a couple of numbers. In Guelph, we've got one that's called 1-844-4-KIDS-11. That's our Here for Kids hotline. It's open 24/7 as well. In Waterloo Region, we have Front Door, which is an amazing service between Lutherwood and Corizon. Their number is 519-749-2932. And then also, I can't say enough about Kids Help Phone. Everybody's heard about that. It's a great national resource that we have, and that number is 1-800-668-6868.
What a pleasure.
And that's open all the time.
What a pleasure to talk with you. You are so well spoken and just a joy to listen to. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Glenn. Take care.
The Mike Farwell Show, weekdays from 9 to noon on 570 News.